Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone here on this Father's Day, and I think a lot of fathers are out doing other things on this day, and that's wonderful. I just want to take a moment to recognize our fathers. And first, are there any, by any chance, any great-grandfathers in the sanctuary today? No great-grandfathers? Jim, congratulations. Grandfathers. There's some.
Two back here.
Oh, I forgot to look. Thank you. And fathers. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you for all that you do for your children and for others, and God bless you. A few announcements. There's a card from Millie Mack and family on the table in the back if you would like to see that. And if you take your red pad, sign it, and pass it down, we'd like to have a record of your attendance. The children's sermon scheduled for Sunday, June 28th, with Carol Kane, and that's next Sunday. Our garden club is meeting Monday, July the 6th at 6:30, and you can address questions to Kathy Segi. Still need VBS helpers, and that will be July 13th through the 17th. And the food bank is in need of items. And you can read about the blind and vision rehabilitation, would like volunteers. And scripture readers, we want to just remind you, and hopefully there's a sign-up sheet. I forgot to check this morning. But if there's not, make one. We'd love to have you reading the scriptures. It's such a nice part of our service. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, number 44, Children of the Heavenly Father. Worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed in your bulletin. Dear God, we worship you as our heavenly Father. We praise you for allowing us to be part of your family. Forgive us when we do not treat others as you treat us. Help us to be kind to people. Show us how we can proclaim your love to our neighbors. Teach us how to be more loving to our families. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for a personal, silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us, with a sense of unity, recite our traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Responsive reading, Teaching Children, 630. Back of your hymnals, Teaching Children, 630. Take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren.
Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess.
That you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged.
Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul,
and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart.
You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up.
You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes.
You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord.
At this time, we'll have our pastoral prayer. There was no prayer request, or praise request at this time. I was called in by the family of Millie Mack yesterday. They thought she was going to pass, and she's not doing very well. The hospice nurse came in and said she was not quite at the place that the family thought that she might be in, but she is very weak, very frail, on pain medicine. So if you just want to see her, stop by, I wouldn't wait. I would go ahead and just go over, even if she doesn't recognize you. I can't promise that she will. Maybe you just want to stop by and say a prayer. I think we would be remiss if we didn't have a prayer for what happened in Charleston, South Carolina. Just so horrible. As you know, I'm from South Carolina, and it just breaks my heart that a white man went into a black church and shot people, killed them, for no good reason except for hate. That's all it was about. I grew up, and there's a lot of talk about the rebel flag. I grew up with the rebel flag, seeing it as heritage, not as hate. I've had t-shirts, I've had flags, even a sticker on my motorcycle helmet with a rebel flag. Sent out some pictures that my cousin painted with rebel flags and Battle of Gettysburg and all kind of different things. But I just want to go on record that I think that it's time for the rebel flag to come down from any state capital, especially my state of South Carolina. For too many people, it's not about heritage, it's about hate. And we shouldn't have any place in our heart for hate for any human beings, any at all. And as long as that rebel flag is flying over the Capitol, I think it's a very divisive issue. And maybe I'm saying this more for me than I am for you, but I wanted to get it off my chest and be in prayer about it, because I don't think South Carolina will heal the way that they should until it comes down. It can be put in a museum. It is a part of history. And there's a lot of different sides to it and issues, but let's pray for racial reconciliation in South Carolina and for everywhere. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. This is Father's Day. and you are our Heavenly Father. You guide us, you lead us, but we're rebellious children and we don't always listen to what you would truly say to us. Help us always to find the path of love, caring, compassion, mercy, and even forgiveness, as hard as it can be. We pray for healing in South Carolina, the tragedy that so many people feel, and the suffering, the hurt, the pain. We pray for South Carolina, but we pray for our whole nation, that we can one day become one people. But to truly do that, people need to come to you as Lord, as Savior, as Heavenly Father. Pour out your Spirit upon South Carolina, upon our country. We pray for all the sick among us, especially Millie Mack at this time, that you would be with her and give her comfort and her family. She knows that you love her. Let her feel it once again in her body or soul or spirit, her mind. And we thank you that you do have a place prepared in heaven for her and for all of us who believe. Thank you for every good thing that you do for us. Thank you for Jesus coming into our lives. And thank you for the prayer he left with his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is 297, I Love to Tell the Story.
Thank you.
Thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this church building and this property. We thank you for one another, that we can come together in worship, to celebrate life, to celebrate what you have done for us. So we give back of ourselves to you, all that we have. The Bible says that you own the cattle of 1,000 hills. Everything upon this earth is ultimately yours. Thank you for each person who gives. Yes, of course, of their money, but of their time, their talents, their energies, their resources, of who they are as a human being and as a Christian. Pour out your blessings upon them this day. In the name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. As the scripture reader comes forward, Session, I want to let you know, Session talked the other night about landscaping our property, you know, around the building. As you look out, the weeds are really taking over. We've had some people trying to do it, but it's just overwhelming, and we really need to get the weeds out and to put mulch in. And we thought about, Session talked about hiring someone to do it and get the first wave over, then it'd be easier to take care of once the professional had done it. But the estimate came in of $3,000. Yeah. So if anyone wants to come down and pull weeds, please do so. If you accidentally pull a flower, that's okay. We don't always know, but if you want to spend some time early in the morning, late in the afternoon, or get a few friends and come down, it would be greatly appreciated. And then maybe we can see about getting some mulch before it starts growing back. Thank you.
Good morning. Today's scripture is from Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7, and I will be reading from the NIV version. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from old, things that we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from our descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach our children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands.
Thank you, Sherry. Very nice. You might have noticed a couple of discrepancies in the passage. The NIV, New International Version, that we've been using for so long, although the RSV is in the pulpit, NIV is really a great version, and from 1984. But the NIV has come out with a new version 2 years ago, the New International Version, and now they have taken it, the old one, away, so we can no longer get it and put it on the screen. So that's why discrepancies today. So I'm going to go back and then I'll talk to Session about it, but back to the Revised Standard Version, which is the one I used to always study out of, a very good version. It's the one in the pulpit. So next week we'll start using the RSV. So thank you. Today, of course, we salute our fathers, and we're thankful for you. And the role of a Christian father is more important in today's world than I think it's ever, ever been. It is a different role than in earlier generations. In most households today, the father, the dad, is called upon to play more of a nurturing role in caring for his children. If mom works outside the home, dad must take a more active role in doing household chores. Dad is no longer lord of the castle. Hopefully, however, he's not been reduced to just being another of the vassals or servants. You may have heard about the mother who is laboring in the kitchen preparing a special recipe for supper. Her little boy was giving her fits, running in and out of the kitchen, as little boys with a lot of energy can do, and ignoring his mom's threats and his warnings. When he finally knocked the special dish off the kitchen table onto the floor, his mother grabbed a broom and started after him. When he crawled under the house, she decided to let her husband take care of the boy because he wouldn't come out. When he arrived home from work, she yelled, "Go discipline your son. He's driving me crazy. Go do something with him." The father crawled under the house until, looking, he saw two bright eyes peering around one of the foundation pillars. And he heard a soft voice say, "Dad, is she after you too?" I can just see that happening. Not going there. Today's father needs to be nurturing to his children, supportive of his wife. And yet at the same time, I believe that the father should provide spiritual leadership of the home as the Bible accords to the father. It is a rare man, a special kind of man, who can combine all three of these qualities. We salute Christian fathers this day especially. The family needs you more than they've ever needed you before. The most common image that Jesus used in describing God, of course, was that of the Father. It makes me think that Joseph must have been a very special kind of father. We center much of the attention on his mother, but Joseph must have combined those very special qualities of strength and gentleness that we associate with Jesus. Jesus had a very keen knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, and in the Jewish home, it was the father who had the primary responsibility for the son's religious education. Of course, we know that Jesus had a unique relationship with God. Still, I believe that Joseph played a very important role in Jesus' upbringing and even his morals. Now, the gospel narrative doesn't really say much about it, but I believe that he was influential in Jesus' life. In Matthew 10:29-31, we have a very important scriptural passage, reminders of the love of the Heavenly Father for his children, for us. It says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will. Even the hairs of your head are numbered." What a moving testimony to the very intimate love that God has for each and every one of us. A second grader once asked his teacher how much the earth weighed. Good question. The teacher went to the encyclopedia and said 6,000 million tons, when she told the little boy. Little boy thought for a minute and then asked, "Is that with people on it or without the people?" Good question. Viewed from one perspective, it might very well seem that people don't really matter very much. After all, we are inhabitants of a tiny planet that orbiting a relatively obscure star in a small galaxy that with millions and billions of stars and galaxies to make up creation. Yet, the God of creation has counted the very hairs of your head. God knows you. God knows who you are. He knows you from the inside out. You know, there's a troubling side, though, to this truth that we often don't want to talk about. Sparrows do fall from the sky. It happens all the time. So I was walking Prince this past week. There's a dead sparrow that's laying just right in the yard. I don't know what happened to it, but it's laying there, dead. Jets suck them up into their engines. Sometimes planes crash because of birds. Predators prey upon the young. Sudden storms or droughts can deprive them of their food. The Father's love does not protect them from life's tragedies, neither does it protect us from all of life's tragedies. Mature Christians realize this truth, but there are many preachers of Christianity that teach the path to ease and prosperity in society that I think this point has to be made, so many, especially on television. It's troubling truth, but in truth, sparrows, innocent sparrows, do fall. The Father's love does not protect us from all of life's problems. Those of you who are parents, I know that you would like to protect your children from every single harm that can come to them. And if you could, if you had the ability, it would be very, very tempting to do it. Deep in our hearts, we would like to build a protective bubble around our children. They never get a scratch, never get a headache, never cry. After all, when they hurt, we hurt. And when someone abuses them, we're angry. We would like to protect our young from any and every hurt, but what would happen if we protected them from everything in life? They would never grow responsible, competent, mature adults. Overcoming obstacles produces character and competence. God has placed us in a world that is designed to bring out the best within us as we deal with life in an attitude of faith and belief and love. Now, that does not mean that God has forsaken us. It does not mean that God has forgotten us. It simply means that the world is a training school designed to produce good souls getting ready for the hereafter. There's a second truth related to this one. The Father's love, as I've said, does not protect us from all of life's problems. But life's problems are not God's punishment for our sins. Jesus' disciples saw a blind man begging. They said, "Who sinned that he should be in this condition?" How often people blame themselves and ultimately blame God when life deals them a difficult, hard blow and life's not going the way that we want it to go. God must be using my child's sickness to punish me for some sin. Some people will think that. Some people will voice it. What a petty God they must have to injure a helpless child in order to punish the parents. No, 1,000 times no. Grief is always tragic enough without adding to it the crushing blow of guilt. Here's where our theology of the cross of Christ becomes critical. You and I live under the grace of God, under Jesus. We believe that something happened on the cross of Calvary that forever changed the relationship between God and humanity. Jesus paid the debt that we could never pay for our sin. Yet as free moral agents living in a lawful world, we have to live with the consequences of our misdoings, of our sins. In terms of my relationship with God, these sins are buried at the bottom of the deepest sea, never to surface again. God does not look down at me as a Christian and see me as a sinner. He sees me as someone saved by His Son, Jesus Christ, saved through grace. My sins are gone forever. If you believe that Christ has atoned for your sins, you cannot believe that God is using some adverse circumstance to punish you. The two are mutually exclusive. There's a story about actor Henry Fonda that can help us here, I think. Fonda, the father, disagreed with his son, Henry, wanting to go into acting. Only grudgingly did he attend his son's debut performance with the rest of the family. After the performance, Fonda's mother and sisters just glowed with pride, and his father didn't say a word until one of the sisters made a tiny criticism of Henry's performance. And he said, "Shut up. He was perfect." Now, of course, he was not perfect. No one is. But his father saw him that way. You and I are not perfect either. That is the way the Father sees us. That is what it means to live under grace and not under the law of the Old Testament. The Father's love does not protect us from problems, and our problems are not God's punishment for our sins. Sparrows do fall from the sky. This is not because they've been good sparrows. It's not because they've been bad sparrows. They fall because they are part of a lawful universe in which unfortunate tragedies happen. But there's the good news. The little sparrow never falls beyond the watchful eye of the Heavenly Father. The child of God who knows that he or she is under the watchful eye of the Father can, by his grace, bear any burden, triumph over any tragedy, get on top of any circumstance that they face. Remember St. Paul's litany of his misfortunes? 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes less one. In other words, he was beaten by a whip. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was even stoned. 3 times I've been shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at the sea, danger from false brethren, in toll and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposed. Yet St. Paul heard the Lord's voice saying, "My grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to take all these things away." For many of us, the injustice of this world combined with the love of the Father is, if you think about it, the best assurance we have of a world beyond this world. Someday, somehow, somewhere, accounts will be settled. In Marjorie Rowling's beautiful novel, The Yearling, one of the first books I read as a young boy, set in rural Florida, there's a scene in which friends and family gather around the grave of a little handicapped boy named Fodderwing. There was no minister present, so one of the men of the community offered up this simple but this moving prayer. It says, "Almighty God, it ain't right for us to say what is right. But if we had been making this boy, we'd have never made him with his back bent and his legs crooked. We would have made him straight and tall like his brothers. But somehow you made it up to him. You gave him away with critters. It comforts us to know that he is in a place where he's being bent doesn't matter no more. We would like to think that you have taken that bent back and those crooked legs and you have straightened them. And Almighty God, if it ain't asking too much, we pray that you will give him some critters to play with, and maybe a few red birds and a squirrel or two. Thy will be done. Amen." I don't really know what heaven is going to be like. We can talk about it, we can think about it, but our mind really can't comprehend it. But I know what God is like. He is like a father who notices a little sparrow fall from the sky and cares for him so much, and he cares for us so very much. He loves each and every one of us. That means that even though we must still face obstacles and crises, we do not face them alone. And someday, somehow, all that which is hurtful in this life will be turned into that which is helpful. And we shall live in the Father's joy in his house forever and forever. So fathers, as the Bible instructs so many places, be sure to tell your children about God. Tell them about Jesus Christ and what he has done for them. They may not understand it as small, but keep telling them. Keep talking to them. Help them to understand what it means to be a believer. A lot of parents want to just leave it up to a Sunday school or junior church or vacation Bible school or even a sermon. But don't do that. Be a Christian leader in your home. Your wife and your children will thank you for it. Happy Father's Day. Amen. Closing hymn, "I Love You, Lord." 80.
Thank you.